Welcome, welcome to yet another episode of The Vinyl Guide, the podcast for fans and collectors of vinyl records. Today we are going to have a great episode. We are going to chat to Jason, the founder of AndVinyly.com. AndVinyly.com is the service which will have you or your loved one's ashes pressed into an actual vinyl record. You can hear your friends or loved one's remains crackle and pop alongside their favorite tune or sound recording. Admittedly, it's a bit creepy, but it's an interesting conversation, and we hope you enjoy it. And some people we are very glad who are still with us are the folks over at our sponsor, GrooveWasher.com. GrooveWasher is the best manual record cleaning system on the market today, and a fraction of the price of one of those large record cleaning machines. Get started with GrooveWasher for as low as $55 shipped within the USA. Just head over to GrooveWasher.com. And this week, we are also sponsored by TheVinylDistrict.com. Use the GPS on your smartphone to find out local record shops wherever you're at in the world. I use the Vinyl District mobile app whenever I travel, and it saves me heaps and heaps of time. Go to TheVinylDistrict.com now, or simply search iTunes or the Android store for the Vinyl District app and install it for free today. And with that, let's start today's episode.
Do you listen to and collect vinyl records? Well, you're in luck.
Welcome to The Vinyl Guide, the podcast made for record nerds like yourself. Here's your host, the biggest record nerd of them all, Nate Goyer.
Well, howdy ho there, neighborinos. Thanks for tuning in. Glad to have you back. I truly, truly hope all is well with everyone. It's been quite an up and down last few weeks for me. Originally, it wasn't an up week. I had to go back to the U.S. to see my father, who ended up in the hospital. It was a bit touch and go there for about a week, but it looks like he's dodged the Reaper for now, this time anyway. And look, he's 82. He's a guy, he's lived on his own terms, so I don't know how much luck he's got left in him, but it seems for now he'll hit 83, hopefully beyond. So a quick trip to L.A., and I, of course, ran through Hollywood on my way back to the airport. I stopped off at AsTheRecordTurns.com and said hi to my friend Kevin there. Picked up a copy of Pink Floyd Saucer Full of Secrets, a first U.S. pressing from Kevin, and it's beautiful. I posted on the Facebook and I think Instagram this record. It's a beautiful copy. So I want to thank Kevin for that. He's got a few more too, by the way. If you guys are Pink Floyd collectors or want some early original pressings, give him a call. U.S. area code 323-251-4895. Now, I'll tell you where I'm at right now. I'm currently in Dalian, China, in my hotel room. I've been working up here for my day job, but I did get a chance to spend a few afternoons hunting for records. Not much luck, I'm afraid. I did take some videos of my experience up here, attempting a crate digging expedition in northern China. I got some advice from people trying to find some sources of vinyl records. Dalian is a major city, but it's not a major city in terms of China. It's a tier 2 or 3 city, which means it has, it's only got like 6 million people here, which is a small city for China, incredibly enough. However, the population here knows very little about records. They know about CDs. They know certainly about music and digital files. But I'd even show people a picture of a record and they would look at it and point and just say, CD? So, not a huge vinyl community up here. I did manage to find a few records. So, if you want to see the video and hear a little bit more about the adventures in Dalian, China, make your way over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/vinylguide. I posted a short video of what it was like to try to find records here in northern China. So, I hope you guys enjoy that. It's at facebook.com/vinylguide. And hey, just a quick reminder to everyone, I really like the fact that many of you are sharing the episodes and links to the Vinyl Guide website with your friends. I want to thank everyone who's doing that, and especially those of you who are leaving positive reviews on iTunes for this podcast. Now, if you like this show, please go to iTunes and log in and leave us a positive review. It really helps us expose the podcast to others. It puts us up on those iTunes list of podcasts that people should be listening to, their recommendations. I do want to give big shout-outs to Sheets876 and Big Cha for leaving those awesome iTunes reviews. Please, guys, keep them coming. They are really helpful keeping the momentum of this podcast going and growing our Vinyl Guide community. Now, this week, we are going to be talking to Jason of andvinyly.com. Now, for those of you who plan on dying someday, you can use this service at andvinyly.com to get your ashes pressed into a record to share with those you leave behind. Now, I know it sounds a bit creepy and weird, but listen to this interview. Jason makes a compelling case for you and or your loved ones to look into this. So, look, something's got to happen to your body at some point, right? So why not put it in a record? And we are going to start that interview right after this word from our sponsors, GrooveWasher.com and TheVinylDistrict.com. GrooveWasher.com. Look, I love GrooveWasher. I can't say enough good stuff about GrooveWasher.com. They have an incredible product. Look, we all need to clean our records, right? And GrooveWasher, in my opinion, has the best product at the best price point. GrooveWasher cleans my records better than any other manual record cleaning system I have ever tried. And believe me, GrooveWasher cleans records really to the point of one of those expensive record cleaning machines. You know, the ones that are like $1,000 or $1,500, the ones that all the record shops have? Well, yeah, those are great, but you pay for those, right? GrooveWasher will give you that level of clean in your home for less than a tenth of the price. Right now, go to GrooveWasher.com, check out their cleaning systems today. They have packages that start at $55 shipped within the USA. I actually recommend you check out one of the ones with the extra fluid and maybe the display block. They're not much more, but they're really super handy, especially for those of you who love your records. So don't just take my word for it. Go to GrooveWasher.com today, check out what they have, and get the one that's right for you. That's GrooveWasher.com, and they are made in the USA. Hey everyone, quick test. You have a mobile device, right? And you love your vinyl records, right? And you think it's awesome to spend an afternoon in a local record store, yeah? Well, if you answered yes to all those, there is an app for you. Check out the Vinyl District today. The Vinyl District allows the GPS on your mobile device to triangulate you to the nearest record shops in whatever city in the world you happen to be in. Now, if you're near your home, the Vinyl District will tell you what shops are in your vicinity. You may discover a record shop local to you that you didn't know about before. And if you're traveling to a new city, the Vinyl District will tell you where to go, how far it is, and exactly how to get there. This is hugely handy, especially if you find yourself in new towns with a spare bit of time. Plus, each shop in the Vinyl District app has user reviews, pictures, and information to help you determine which shop would most fit in with your music and social tastes. And the best part about it is the Vinyl District is free. Go to thevinyldistrict.com now, or simply go to iTunes or the Android store and search for Vinyl District today. It's a must-have mobile app for record collectors worldwide. And that's thevinyldistrict.com. Alrighty, so for today's show, we are going to have a chat with Jason at andvinyly.com. Again, this is the service that will spread your ashes, or those of your loved ones, into vinyl records. And again, it's a bit of a creepy thing. A lot of people don't like talking about what is going to happen after they pass. But quite frankly, something has to happen to all of us. And those of us who love records, well, this is an option, a really interesting option. Listen to what Jason has to say about it. We discuss it. And I think he makes a really compelling argument why putting the ashes into records is a fantastic thing to do for you and your loved ones. And you could always find out more by going to andvinyly.com. I'll make sure to put that link into our show blog at www.thevinylguide.com. And now, of course, let's start the conversation with Jason from andvinyly.com. Here in the Vinyl Guide, we talk about all sorts of different products related to records that we all enjoy and want as part of our collection and want to use. However, now we're going to talk about a product that is equally as exciting, but I'm not sure I want to use just yet. And the product that I'm talking about is andvinyly, which is run by Jason out of the UK, where they actually
compress your ashes after you die into a playable record. So, Jason, do I have that correct?
You do.
Okay. So how did you come up with this concept?
It was a mixture of a number of things, actually. One of which was reaching an age where all of a sudden, shockingly, unbelievably, really, I sort of suddenly realized, crikey, maybe I will die one day. That happened at relatively late age. I was actually quite taken aback by, I mean, of course I was aware I would one day, but it just, I hadn't thought about it. I'd not been really exposed to death particularly. I mean, obviously my grandparents had died. Luckily I hadn't had too many friends or close friends dying, and certainly it wasn't something that you're aware of or people even speak about very much. So I was interested by the fact that I suddenly sort of started thinking about it and felt, wow, you know, this isn't something that people really talk about much. In fact, it's probably sort of kept hidden and people avoid discussing it. And I don't know whether some people might call it like a midlife crisis or like I say, just realizing that...
You became aware of your own mortality at some point.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Very, very clearly aware of it.
Was it caused by an incident? Were you on a motorcycle, or did something happen? Or did you all of a sudden, was it a slow, gradual, holy shit, this is temporary?
Well, it just suddenly was something I became aware of. I had children of few years before. Perhaps them getting to of a certain age was something that happened. I mean, I'd spent 7 years dispatch riding around London on a motorbike, and thought, you know, it never really, I mean, the thought occurred to me, but I guess I just hadn't thought about it. It's something you brush aside. But so that was one thing, and probably the main thing. But at the same time, my mother had actually got a job at an undertaker's, and she was actually dealing with death and families, that was kind of a bizarre thought that and hearing what she was doing was obviously brought it home more. And then also ashes have been a sort of, you know, human ashes is a stories in my family that I've grown up hearing, and we used to sort of have fun talking about them. But I grew up hearing about my great grandfather, whose ashes were scattered by my grandfather and my father and uncles on a boat in the Solent off the south coast. And the story was that they went to scatter him over the side and the wind blew, and they ended up having to sweep him off the deck. And it was always a bit of a funny story that you'd hear at Christmas. You know, people spoke of it, you know, and had fun about it. And then actually, I went out, well, I was probably 14 or 15 years old, and we went out on a small little boat, my father and my uncle and I, to scatter my grandfather's ashes. And pretty much the same thing happened. We weren't on a boat that had a deck, so we were kind of sort of spooling him out of the little corners and off ourselves. And so obviously that must have sort of sunk in some way as well. And then the last thing I think that sort of made it, the idea come about, was I saw a story about someone who'd had their ashes put in fireworks. And I thought it was great, a real great way of, you know, sort of saying goodbye, as it were, so long as they weren't wet and didn't, you know, and worked, which was obviously a thought that occurred. Obviously, I've been releasing records for up to, well, close to 20 years myself now, released probably close to 60 records myself. So the process of making a record is very well known. I've made them all myself, and you know, had them made personally and produced and mastered and done everything. So the whole process is very well known. And I think it was a mixture of all of those things together which made me think, well, what would I want to do? And I thought, well, what I'd love to have is a record of my great-great-grandfather, for example, and to hear his voice. Maybe hear the sort of things he liked, what he did, perhaps a bit of music he liked or played even. And I thought, wow, that would be a good idea. And then I started having fun with the idea, really. I thought it's the best way to to deal with the realization of mortality, and the site started coming together, and it was not at all a commercial consideration. It was actually a bit of fun, mm-hmm. And probably looking back a way of dealing with it, and that's where the site came from. And the minute that I sort of put it up, and I'd obviously decided I'd do that myself, I was inundated with interest. Hmm. So it's sort of natural. And over the last few, I mean, as I say, I didn't intend it to be a commercial venture. And the interest wasn't, it was initially from the media, but it also more and more people who were actually interested in doing it themselves. And it's really pursued me, if you like. And I ended up really maybe 4 years ago actually starting to make these things. And it's growing all the time.
Wow. Now, how many have you done so far? How many people have signed up to have their ashes pressed into a record so far?
Well, we've probably made about 20, I guess, completed. But we're dealing with a very large number of people. And obviously, the site, as it stands at the moment, it's not visible on mobiles or tablets, which is something that we're sorting out at the moment. But as it stands, the site talks about making it, as you introduced it, making one yourself, planning one yourself. We actually, the majority of the customers so far have already the ashes of loved ones or friends or relatives. There have been a couple where people have been aware of the service before they passed away, but we didn't actually speak to them directly before they died. So it's their relatives we've dealt with. So it, you know, as I say, it was the idea was about planning it for yourself. And so far, a lot of the work we've done of people who already have ashes.
So you've had maybe 20 press. So
yeah, well, that's what I was trying to say. And we're dealing with probably I'd say about between 30 and 40 people who are planning their own record, as the site describes, really currently. And that's obviously something that people aren't sort of planning necessarily to be making their record anytime soon. But what tends to happen is it's one, I mean, me personally for certain, it sort of changes it changes all the time what you'd like to put on that record. So it's a long process. We obviously have suggestions, which obviously get people thinking as well. For example, you know, the initial obvious thoughts are you put your favorite tracks or the music you've made on there. Mm-hmm. But the records that we've made, which have been the best records, always include the people's voices. Because that's sort of the most profound thing, really, you could leave. And so people start thinking about that and they kind of enjoy the process. And as I say, it's a process which changes. What you think one month might be slightly different to the next month. So we don't rush people and let them consider that. When people,
I hope you don't rush people.
when people decide that this is absolutely what it is, what I want to do, then we're in a position to actually making a record a lot, like the printing process, for example, the majority of the work and the cost is in the origination. And so, you know, you need to get the covers, the artwork done, and you can get the labels and the covers and sleeves printed. You can get the music and or whatever the audio content is mastered. You can get the acetates made and the stampers, in fact, and actually people can hold a finished copy without themselves in it, if you like, that they can have and play and have all of the material that's ready there for when the time comes.
all that's missing is them.
Yes, just their involvement.
So that is, to me, it's very fascinating. Some of the ideas that you've put forward, and again, the default thought is, wow, my favorite song or something like that. But but then you have people doing their own voice. You've also had people that have done nothing but silence.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, we tend to encourage at least a little part of that because, you know, rather tongue-in-cheek, but, you know, the concept is to a certain degree. But obviously, generally, when you make a record, the last thing you want to do is have bits of dust on it after they've been made, but particularly while you're making it, you do everything you can to avoid any sort of material apart from vinyl in the record. So when you put ash in a record, you've got to get the balance right, and then obviously it will affect the audio a little. When that does happen, it's obviously the person who's in the record that's doing that. So you could call it a solo if you like. And we always encourage at least a little of that, either at the end or in between some audio tracks or where at some point it's worthwhile doing.
So that's, yeah, the clicks and the pops. And you could just think to yourself, wow, that's my Nan right there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So how many records do you get out of one dead human?
Well, I mean,
normal size, not like the real fat ones, but I mean the basic kind of.
Well, I mean, the point is, we use the most that we've made for one person is 30 copies. That's the maximum we've done. They're not for resale. They're not for distribution. Despite the fact we kind of, again, tongue in cheek, we kind of joke about that on the site, but they're not for resale. They're for family and friends. And so, as I said, the amount of ash that's put in the record, you want it to be there, you want to see it, but you need the audio to play as well. So actually, there's a negligible amount. You can still, if people want to be scattered on the top of Mount Everest, if they could get there, these things can still be done. You can still be kept on a shelf, above a fireplace. But their records can also be made. So it's really something you can do as well rather than instead of anything else.
So it's not, it's 13 or 30?
30 is the most.
And that's 7-inch or 12-inch?
That's 12-inch.
Okay.
Now, what one thing that we've learned, again, as I say, the concept is and the it's sort of grown, is that, unfortunately, fairly recently, I have lost a couple of friends. And what I've noticed is that often the friends, very close friends, who probably have spent much more time with the people before they died for up to a number of years, of course, they often, when it comes to the funeral or whatever the service that they have, they might not even get invited, for example, because the family might not know them. And what we found is that we have a lot of contact from friends, good close friends who are extremely grateful for having received one of these records because they get something to remember them by. And often they're overlooked, not on purpose, of course, by the family, but they don't always know exactly who these people have spent a lot of time with,
right,
who they were close to at the time. So it's quite a nice thing that we've learned by doing it, that it does give good close friends something to remember people by too.
So when you have, when you take the order, okay, someone contacts you and says, you know, I'd like to set this up for myself. Is there an expectation? Do you ask, okay, well, are you planning this soon or are you relatively healthy? Are we looking at something that will, an order that will be filled within the next year or 5 years?
Well, what we tend to say is, look, you know, it could be a very long process. You know, think about it, because as I said at the beginning, I think one of the good things about this, to think about what you would like to include on a limited, fairly restricted amount of time, is a really quite a good process. It makes you go, is certainly with myself, it makes you think about things in a fairly positive way and makes you think about perhaps yourself and what you've learned and what you'd like to leave. And it's not something that should be rushed. So we encourage people to take their time.
People will change their mind, no doubt. How do you deal with that? They just send you an email. Oh, Jason, rather than Beatles Carry That Weight, I now want Cheech and Chong or whatever.
Well, no, but because the audio is really compiled by the customer. You know, it's something that they're planning and thinking about themselves. It's not that they're saying to us, oh, I'd like this, and can you do this or do that? Mm-hmm. Ultimately, what people would like on their record is sent to us as audio. We can obviously, when it's if people want specific music written or they want something, I don't know, if it's, for example, someone was answer phone message, they want something edited and they don't have, you know, they can't do that themselves. A lot of most people can nowadays, but if they can't, then we'll assist in that regard. But it is the audio content that we master and cut onto a record is provided by the customer rather than them saying, right, I'd like this, that, and the other. Apart from where they want specific things, like perhaps a sound effect in the background or something like that. And again, if it's not something they can do, then they ask us to do that, and we can assist in that way.
Obviously, you have contacts at a record pressing plant for this. Okay, all right. So it's not, you don't have a partner. Didn't have to convince someone else of this idea. You have your own pressing abilities.
Yes.
Your own hobby.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Do you only do black records, or can you do color?
No, well, actually, again, you know, something that obviously it was something that was realized very quickly, but we encourage clear vinyl or colored clear vinyl because you can see the ash much better then. Some people still prefer to go with black, but obviously it's less visible.
What's the percentage of the content of ash in one of these records?
I don't know the exact percentage, but it's not high, but it's enough so that it's visible. It's a balance between being visible and not affecting the audio so that it's unlistenable or a problem.
Right.
Some people prefer it to have more effect. Some people want as little effect as possible. You know, it's one of those choices that are made and we discuss at the time.
One of your services is actually to distribute records.
There's a few sort of jokes, if you like, for want of a better word. The site is riddled with terrible puns, which we sort of had fun with at the time. So, you know, we don't distribute these records. What we do is we send them back to the customer or the person who's had them made. We don't distribute them.
Oh, okay. So I wouldn't be able to buy a record with someone's ashes in it.
No, I mean, you know, it's not something. Well, I don't know what people do once they have their copies. I doubt very much indeed, and I've not heard of anybody who sells or wants to sell them. But it's not something that we offer.
You also do pets as well.
I haven't made one, but I am speaking with someone at the moment who's got brilliant recordings of their dog barking and doing all sorts of things, which is being sort of put together at the moment. So yes, pets. But we've also done a lot of art pieces where the concept has been used. For example, recently the most recent one we did was a clear vinyl record with a meteorite that they had crushed, which we pressed into the record, and on the record there were three loops all starting from the outside of the record coming in, you know, so you don't have one track, then the next track, then the next track. A special lathe was required for that. It's called a Scully lathe. So it means you can start all three tracks at the beginning of the record and they all spiral in together. And on that record, there was the sound of a tornado, an earthquake, and a volcano. So that's an example of sort of how the concept might be used. We've also, another artist had a score written for a cello and two violins, and they were filmed playing this score, which was on fire, as were their instruments. And we then, and then it was recorded, and we pressed that into a record as well. So we've done a few things like that. We've also spoken and are dealing with some. We don't know who they are actually, but people we can only expect are very well known, who whose instruments are. We're being sent ashes from their instruments to put onto records, but we don't know who they are at the moment. But so there's different ways the concept can be used.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I see a musician in the future may want to make a very limited run to raise money
exactly.
for whatever disease took them out at some point. So
maybe something like that, and or also or maybe you know it could be. It could be a living musician who, I don't know, broke the neck of his guitar, for example, and thought, I'm going to release a record with my old guitar in it or something. There's all sorts of things that could be happening and maybe are with the people we're dealing with. Who knows?
The drummer from Def Leppard, if he still has that old arm around, maybe he could make a bit.
That's possibly true.
Would you guys do an amputee, like an amputee? Like, oh, I lost my arm, but I want to hear.
I'm not too keen on thoughts like that. but again, on the site, we have we have sort of tongue in cheek mentioned such ideas.
And what's the craziest one you've been involved in so far?
I don't really know what to call crazy. I mean, I think the whole sort of idea. Sort of initially felt crazy, so my sort of level of what that
you
means,
know what crazy is. Come on, what is the one that you're like, holy cow, I didn't know this is going
to. I've certainly been asked some very crazy, bizarre things to do, which we're not we declined. but as far as crazy, I don't think anything is, because I mean, whether it's someone speaking or their voice or whether it's a bit of their music or. I mean, ultimately, it's putting ashes into a record. So I don't really, truthfully, I can't really see one as being more crazy than another.
And I mean, look, at the end of the day, you're taking a byproduct of someone or something, pressing it into a record, which really is should be no different than a color of dye, you know, or any other material. I'm assuming that this is legal. Yeah, I mean, most countries. Yeah.
I mean, I believe it's there are problems with people, for example, scattering ashes on in natural places of natural beauty, but not with with people putting ashes in a record or in a painting, for example, of portrait of their face, which is also what we also offer for album covers. You know, ultimately, you can do it. I think some countries perhaps have certain laws. I know that we dealt with somebody in a country where they had problems posting ashes. You know, there are sometimes red tape like that needs to be made aware of. But again, that's really up to the customer's discretion. And, you know, we always make sure that they're aware of what they can and can't do in their territory, as it were, before we proceed.
And you guys have a full service. It's not just the records, but you also design the album artwork, the cover artwork.
But we can do so. Yeah, it's something that, I mean, obviously, having made so many records, we all of that is something that we already do. So it's something that can be offered. But particularly nowadays, I mean, obviously, everybody is capable of to some standard, making their own artwork, you know, compiling photographs and copy or whatever it may be. So the majority of people, you know, are doing that themselves. But it is something that we can provide if people request it.
Since you've opened this business, you've done, you know, it sounds like a couple of dozen projects. Which one are you most proud of?
I think my favorite of them all, which was a surprising one, is one that was done fairly recently, and it was a guy called John. He's maybe 65, and he had his mother's, his dear old mum's ashes, as he called it, in his cupboard under his stairs for, I don't know, 15, 17 years or something. And he, when he heard about it, he excitedly contacted me and said she would have absolutely loved this. And he said, I feel she's in this urn, in this cupboard, you know. And he said, you know, I never really quite know what to do with her, and she would have absolutely loved it. And he brilliantly, at the before she died, when she was beginning to get unwell, he spent some time recording her and asking her lots of very personal questions about the family, about his childhood, about everything that he could get out of her from about the family and the history of the family and himself and everything he could. And it is just fantastic. And I mean, we actually helped edit it down because there was a lot more there than you can fit onto one record. And it was just really the perfect, from my point of view, the perfect example of making one of these, because it was fantastic thing for him to leave for his descendants. And it really was a true record, if you like, of his mum and of his family. And I think that it was probably the most sort of profound and touching one that we've done. So I think for me, that's my favorite one.
No, look, I know that that's a very touching story. I know we've been joking around quite a bit here, and this is a concept that it does strike people as very strange and odd. But look, a lot of people get their relatives or their loved ones cremated, and then they just sit in an urn on the shelf or a box in a closet. I mean, what are you going to do? It's like, you know, nothing good is happening with that.
Exactly.
You might as well do something creative, and especially if they like art and they're a music fan, why not get them pressed up?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, that's the thing. Even myself, when I thought of it, to be honest, thought, well, it's a bit bizarre, and people either love it immediately, they're a bit confused by it, or they think it's totally weird. Mm-hmm. But almost all of them eventually, after some amount of time, end up thinking, hey, hang on a minute, I actually think I quite like that idea. Mm. When they understand what it is and actually think about it rather than their first reaction. So it's one of those things. The fact is, most people don't like thinking about then. Anyway, so you're dealing with that reaction initially normally as well. It's not something that's that we're really overly exposed to in our culture. I mean, it's all kind of, you see it all over the television and, you know, people being shot and filmed and things like that. But you don't, you know, it's, you kind of let it go over your head, don't you? So a lot of people don't like to think about it. So
no,
I think often we're dealing with that reaction as much as anything else.
But it is coming to each one of us. And I guess this is something where you can choose to, let the earth take you somehow. I mean, no matter what you believe, your religious or spiritual beliefs, you know, whatever leaves your body, you do leave some remains here. So you could either let that go back into the earth however you want, or you can put it on the end of a firework, or you can, if you're a record fanatic, you can put it on something that your friends and family and loved ones can use and listen to and think about you. And it really is a celebration, which I think is
absolutely. Yeah. Damn. And you can do other things as well. It's not taking them all. And, I keep mentioning about the voice, but, you know, there's when you play a record, particularly vinyl, I assume everyone who would listen to this will be like me and love records, the way they work, the fact you hold them and touch them in the covers, etc. But when you play someone's voice on a record, you're actually moving the air with their voice, and you know, it's as close as I can imagine to sort of being back in the room, as it were.
That's a beautiful way to end it. So Jason, thank you very much. The URL is www.andvinyly, andvinyly.com. I'll make sure this is on our blog and within the episode and, you know, tweeted and various other things that we do on our Facebook page, andvinyly.com. It's a very interesting and I think a very welcome option for what's going to happen to all of us someday. And we all love records, so this is probably a better option than most.
Live on from beyond the groove.
Jason, thank you very much, and good luck with everything. And we look forward. Well, maybe we don't look forward to it, but we wish you the best of luck with this venture.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Bye.
Alrighty, so I hope you guys enjoyed that conversation with Jason at andvinyly.com. Look, I'll admit, I came away from that conversation with a different perspective than when I went in it. Look, we've all got to do something with our ashes someday. Something's going to happen to our bodies. Why not put them into records? I mean, sounds fine. It sounds like a very appropriate way to be able to share our experience beyond with our friends and family. So anyway, more information, go to andvinyly.com. I'll make sure to put that link in our blog post at thevinylguide.com. Also, quick reminder to everyone, we've got some videos of crate digging expeditions in Dali in China up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/vinylguide. Again, not that many records, but it was an adventure. It was quite fun still nonetheless. And also, please, everyone, leave us some positive iTunes reviews. And thanks to everyone who's been doing that all along. Alrighty, well, until we talk next time, everybody take care and keep spinning. Cheers.
That's it for this episode of The Vinyl Guide. Send your thoughts to nate@thevinylguide.com or follow or tag us on Instagram @vinylguide. Until next time, keep spinning.